Hello and welcome to another episode of Monday Mile, your walk and talk podcast, your source of moving motivation. Today's guest is a racing car driver. I mean, before we even start, does that get any cooler as a job title? She races in the Extreme E and the W Series, and in 2019 won the W Series Championship. With a year out due to the big C word, she's just fresh back from the last race of the season, having defended her W Series title. Oh, and yeah, she is the only female in F1 as a development driver for Williams. It is Jamie Chadwick. Jamie, welcome to Monday Mile.
Morning.
Where are we?
Up in Chelsea. It's cold.
It is freezing, isn't it?
I know.
It's definitely, the temperatures have turned quickly. You're not originally from here. You don't live too far from here, though. We won't give anything away, but you're originally from Bath.
Yeah, originally from Bath. So grew up in the countryside and now I've kind of moved to the Big Smoke. But I love it because, I'm not here that often. I travel quite a lot, so it's nice to be able to come back, enjoy the busy city atmosphere.
What brought you to London?
To be honest, all my friends have moved to London. I love it here because, to me, the only city I think I can live in is London. It's just, it's home. There's so many good pubs, so many nice places to go. London is home for me. So, yeah, I love it here.
Yes, love it. Feel that vibe. So, you are just fresh back from an absolutely rocking season. A massive congratulations. It really was down to the wire in that last race with Alice Powell. How did you deal with the pressure?
Everyone asked me about the pressure. It's funny because in 2019, I actually really struggled with the pressure. The last race, I'd led the whole season and I got to the last race and actually it was, quite tough. Definitely got lucky to get out of that with the championship. So for this year, going into the last race, it was so close between us. I knew I couldn't really leave any stone unturned, so I really focused on making sure I could soak it all up, feel the sense of occasion, and just come at it all guns blazing. So it definitely was quite high pressure, but I'm glad we came out on top.
Unreal. And you raced for Velos, is that how
Veloce. Everyone says Velos though, or Velos, and it always makes me laugh because especially Americans over in the States when we're racing, they're like, oh my God, you race with Velos? And I was like, that was more Australian. But every time I'm like, oh, Veloce, okay, I'm not going to correct you.
Veloce, okay, that sounds quite Italian actually.
It is, it's Italian for speed.
There we go.
Yeah, that's my background knowledge for you.
You learn something new every day. Take us back to the start of your career. How does one get into driving cars at high speed? Because it is so freaking cool.
It's different. I guess it's probably similar with you in snowboarding. You start when you're young, and for me, I wasn't from a racing background. My parents didn't race or anything like that. It was my older brother that started in go-karts, and I had my first go when I was about 12, and just really enjoyed it, so I wanted to take it off as a hobby. My parents supported me to do that, so I went once a month or so karting, and then it progressed from there really. It just kind of went from one thing to another. And
what's that transition from karting? What's the next step after that?
You start in karting, and then karting is actually massive, so you can race in world championship level karting. I never did any of that. I went straight into cars when I was 14, and I won something called the Ginetta Junior Scholarship, which gave me a fully funded season in junior car racing when I was 14. So that was kind of my first big opportunity, I guess.
First big leg up. And you're so young still.
I don't think I am anymore. It's
no,
scary.
I do, but then maybe that's because I'm like 30 and retired. But I remember first meeting you at, I think it was the BT Action Women Awards. And I remember one thing you said really vividly.
I walked into your dressing room, I remember that now.
My dressing room?
Yeah, because I was trying to find a dressing room and I just walked in and I was like, oh, sorry, Amy.
Yeah, I'd like legged it from the other side of town and turned up in like sweats and had to throw my ensemble on. But I remember you saying that, I was like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. You were like, yeah, extreme sports, it's a thing, I get it. That sort of mutual extreme sports respect, is it like that on the tour?
Yeah.
Is there a good vibe between the drivers, or is it like ultra competitive?
No, it's actually a really good, well, it is competitive, but there is a really good vibe. And I think it's, like you said, just that mutual kind of common interest. We'd all kind of been through a similar thing growing up. We've kind of all experienced similar sort of, introductions to the sport. So everyone does get on. Especially when we're away from the track, it is quite funny because, yeah, we are all quite friendly, which is what people don't expect to hear.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre because I feel like in other sports, like tennis and athletics, there really is like that competitive edge in extreme sports. I don't know about you, but the way I experienced it was the mutual respect, but maybe because, correct me if I'm wrong, but for us, it was like, there's like an element of danger. So when somebody does something new or pushes themselves to a new limit, it's like, fair play.
Yeah, it's definitely that. I think the difference with motorsport, though, is regardless of who you are, there's always an element of, they've got a better car than me, they've got this, they've got that, and that's why I'm not, or they're winning. Whereas in W Series, everything's shared, all the data's shared, we all switch cars as well. So you kind of take out that sort of little bit of like bitterness that you might have in any other motorsport. So then as soon as that goes, you just have that respect, like you said, and you just appreciation for what other people are doing.
Tell us about that, because that's really unique. Motorsport isn't always a level playing field, but W Series is. Give us a little bit more of a nugget how it's impacted females driving cars, because it's freaking epic.
Yeah, it is really cool. It's so, W Series basically professionalised women's motorsport overnight. It's, to compete in motorsport, it costs a mad amount of money. You go on, to...
Give us like a vague idea, because some people listen to this podcast will have no idea, and they think like snow sport, for example, ski racing is really expensive.
Yeah.
But give us a vague number.
So to do, say, Formula 3,
yeah,
is about 1 to 1.2 mil euros, so if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, okay, I'm going to bring it down a little bit. That's about 900 grand.
Yeah, F2 double that.
No!
Yeah, and then obviously Formula 1, if you do a good job in Formula 2, then you'll get a paid seat in Formula 1, but if you want to buy a seat in Formula 1, you're talking 10 plus million.
Wow.
So it's a mental amount of money.
That is mad.
But yeah, so it's expensive. So for anyone to progress in the sport, male or female, it's so difficult. To get that kind of backing is next to impossible. So W Series is free to enter. They fully fund the whole season and has prize money.
I mean, that is just incredible, because when you think of women's sport as a whole, I think there's been like a huge progression in the last 2-3 years. But to see a sport actually fully funded where you can win a reasonable size check as well at the end of the season. I mean, I say reasonable, I mean, it's huge. There's not many sports that have that amount of backing. So as a series, where can you go from there?
That's the thing. It's an amazing series. It kind of gives you this massive opportunity, gets you, up in front of all the right people. And then where's next is the question I'm being asked a lot. And I think a lot of people think, oh, why can't I just go straight to Formula One? But unfortunately, the difference and the experience gap between W Series and Formula One is too great. So I can't make that step just yet.
Yeah.
But it does look like something like Formula 3 or Formula 2 is possible. And off the back of the platform W Series given me, I think it's now looking more likely that I can get the support and the backing to get those mental figures to go into something like that.
That is phenomenal, because that's a big jump in itself, right? Would you be the only female to race in F3 or F2?
Yeah, so I mean, women have raced in F3 and F2. At the moment, there aren't any. It's so few women in the sport anyway, but I think if we can bridge that gap and become one of those few people, then that would be great.
And you're also a development driver for Williams. I mean, that's got to be so cool. A team steeped in such history.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's and also just to be part of a Formula One team for any young driver is exactly what we all dream of. So Williams for me, it's kind of quite close to my heart. I joined the team when Claire Williams was at the helm.
Yeah, and what a role model for you within the sport.
Exactly, so it made a big difference. And then obviously a British team, it's nice to be with as well.
And then of course that experience actually being in the paddock at the track, that's pretty hard to come by in itself.
Yeah, exactly. I think people really underestimate that with Formula One. I know you've been to a couple of races.
I have. I've had a very, very good time at a couple of them.
But that's really hard to get. Like, most young drivers don't even get in the paddocks. So, yeah. for me to be behind the scenes, see everything that Formula One teams do and how they operate is, yeah, incredible. And it's, like I said, actually really hard to access for anyone, really.
A couple of times I've been, you're just so grateful for that opportunity. You're also involved in Extreme E. I mean, an all-electric series off-road. It's the off-road bit that gets me.
Yeah, and it is gets me as well, because it's like, I guess it's the equivalent to racing or going from maybe being a road cyclist to a mountain biker. So it's a completely different discipline. It's the same sort of thing. You're still using the same parts of your body, but yeah, it's also a completely different discipline. So yeah, I mean, from my side, I'm absolutely loving the challenge. I only, unfortunately, clashed a bit with W Series, so I only did a couple of the races so far this year, but yeah, I think it's an amazing series. And also what it stands for, I'm very guilty of not having much awareness of, you know, climate change and the impact that, you know, everything that we're doing these days is having on our planet. But Extreme E has been a huge education process in that for me. So yeah, it's amazing to sort of learn a little bit more about that.
So cool. And you also drive for Veloci. Bit of history there. Adrian Newey is one of the founders. He spent a fair bit of time in the aerodynamics department.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian was really valuable for the team, especially when we're starting off at the beginning of the series. We were really trying to find every little edge we could get with the car. So Adrian's been hugely, hugely important with this team. And yeah, it's amazing. I think we've got obviously Adrian, but also John Eric Byrne, who's a double Formula E world champion, also heavily involved in the team. So we're really lucky. We've got all the right people around us. And for me, Veloci are family. So I get to race with them in Extreme E and W Series. And yeah, I'm really lucky with that.
How do you find the two complement each other? Does the off-road complement your on-track time?
Yeah, it definitely does. They're very different. There's a lot of transferable, but there's a lot of new different skills that are required.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like the new challenge. I like having to sort of adapt myself, learn something different. And yeah, the variation in styles that I have to kind of jump between, I like the challenge of.
What does it take to adapt to that environment?
The main thing is how different the environment is. So in circuit racing, I do, say for example, Silverstone, I've done hundreds of laps of Silverstone. The track doesn't change. I mean, the conditions might be a bit different, but the track still goes the same way. The curbs, the surface is the same. I do loads of laps on a simulator. I know exactly where within about 20 metres of braking, where to brake at each corner, everything. Whereas in Extreme E, you don't know what you've got. You just have a completely different new track that is thrown at you. And it's basically rip the blindfold off and go. And having to try and learn it within one lap and also not really know where you're going and drive flat out is
that sounds absolutely terrifying.
It is, yeah. And I think that's the thing. And it's great though, because you ask the benefit of it. But I had it sort of this season, as it's, I think it was Spa in W Series, and it started spitting with rain. And I got a bit nervous. I was like, oh God, like conditions are getting a bit, bit different. I was like, this is nothing in comparison to Extreme E and what I've been had to face in that. So,
are you not tearing up sand dunes?
Yeah. So also
and
not
there
can
be like rocks and all sorts. It's like off-piste snowboarding. You just don't even know
exactly.
That's what's
a really
coming at you.
Yeah, really good way of comparing it. So it's like going from knowing your course, like in ski racing, to then suddenly going off-piste and still being expected to push just as hard as you would push going on a course that you know.
Yeah. So it lends itself very well to when you do get those slightly dodgy on-track conditions, a little bit of drizzle in the flatland. Well, the UK, right? So you also have done a bit of time in the sim. To me, and maybe some people at home, when I think of a sim, I'm thinking a kid's game. Obviously, it's not like that at all. How beneficial has that time been at Williams?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think that's the thing people probably also really underestimate about Formula One now is, yeah, their simulators, their technology is ridiculous. It's to the point where, you know, it's a full motion platform sim. You've got basically you're so submerged in the environment that you really do feel like you're in reality. And
is there the impact if it goes wrong?
A little bit, yeah. You don't want to crash too often. I always find I feel a bit sick every time I crash because it's horrible.
But
it's pretty intense. But the main thing is, so what people don't realise is a lot of the work I do with Williams, on a Friday of a race weekend, I'll be on the simulator, they'll be at the track, and we will do it so that, yeah, I'll basically be driving around, they'll send the data from the track simulator. The drivers say they struggle with a certain part of the track, or they're struggling with a certain part of the car. We can try different setups in the simulator, send the data back to them so that we can suggest changes that they can make at the track. So it's really advanced now, and I think that's, yeah, cool.
I feel like that's definitely underestimated
yeah.
from the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, and it's so cool how closely they can match it as well. So that, you know, you can actually make meaningful changes on a simulator that, yeah, do go back to track and work.
What do you think it will take to see a girl line up on the grid at an F1? Do you dare to dream? Is it possible? Chadwick, are we gonna see it?
I definitely think it's possible. I hope it's me, I want to be the one to do it, but if it's not, I think there are definitely a lot of talented girls that are coming through, and it just needs more girls to get involved. You know, if the talent pool's big enough, rule of physics, or not physics, rule of probability shows that it will happen. So yeah, we just need more and more girls to get involved in motorsport, and yeah, from there I'm hoping we will see it eventually.
So if I wanted to get involved, where would I start? Karting?
Yeah, is this an actual, karting and
endurance. Where can I go and drive a car?
go-karting is the place to start. You learn all your basic skills in karting. Generally speaking, most people start in karting because you can start when you're really young, before you can start in cars. So actually you could probably bypass karting. But then, yeah, it's just getting into cars and then doing as much as possible. And that's the thing, there's no substitute for seat time. I'm sure you know from when you're snowboarding, just there's nothing that could substitute being out on the snow. And
no, there's nothing.
And it's the same in cars, so, or racing. And I think the difficulty is it's expensive to get a lot of seat time. So that's where things like W Series, where you're getting these opportunities to race without having to to find any budget or anything like that, it makes a massive difference.
And also to see the inclusion this year of the W Series following the F1, in terms of exposure and platform for W Series, and then also being a part of that moving circus with the F1, that's got to have been a real lift for the series.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's definitely I noticed a massive step up this year, and you don't really notice it on the race weekends as such. It doesn't feel too different. Austin definitely did because there were a mental amount of American fans there.
But
it's just incredible.
And the Americans love a Brit. Hey?
They do. Well,
did they go wild when you sealed the deal on victory?
I thought they loved a Brit. I think they would have liked there's an American girl in W Series that got a lot of support. They definitely do. And we went out in Austin afterwards, and it was so weird I've never had it where you just, anywhere you'll walk, and they'll be like, are you Jamie Chadwick?
No way!
Honestly, I've never had that ever. And just Austin, they went mad for it. So I think obviously Formula One, everyone was Formula One fans there, but yeah, it was quite cool.
No, that is so special. And as well, getting that recognition, which you deserve.
I mean, I say that, I did get called Janet Chadwick twice.
Janet?
So, Janet Chadwick, so I'm not sure how much they were watching.
You can just imagine them, Janet Chadwick, go on, girl!
That was exactly it. I went with it, I didn't correct them.
I wonder how my Texan accent will hold up out there. I reckon I could pull it off. What does it actually take physically to be a racing driver? Because, again, one of those like misconceptions is, you know, you're sat down. I did motocross as a kid, and when I was younger, I used to be like, oh, it's fine, you're just sat down. And my dad was like, no, you don't realise.
Your arms.
Because you're so young, you've just got used to it. What does it take to be fit, to be able to drive a car at those G-forces?
Yeah, that for me is one of the biggest misconceptions of the sport, is it is really physical, and something I've actually really struggled with in the past. Last year, I was out racing despite COVID, and they had a really bad year just because I was really struggling physically.
Yeah.
And the problem is the cars are set up in a certain way, so as soon as you need to compensate with the car to make it less physical, then you're losing performance. So it's a lot with the G-force. It's a lot that your body goes through, so your neck and stuff, but also your upper body. In a lot of these cars, you don't have something called power steering. So in your road car, you feel the steering's really light. In a race car, it's not. So it's super heavy to just turn the wheel. So that's...
It's always fascinated me. I've seen how some drivers train their neck. Do you do that as well? Like hanging off stuff with the TheraBands? Is that a big part of it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's different ways to train your neck. For me, a lot of it's actually in like, so my shoulders, what's this bit called? I don't even know. My
traps.
That's it. There's a lot in your traps just because that helps your neck as well. But if you look at, you know, if I was to test Formula One, my neck needs to get quite a lot stronger before I get in that car.
That can be done. That's possible.
Definitely possible.
A little bit of neck training.
100% possible. But again, back to like what we're saying about, there's no substitute for being in the car or on the snow.
Yeah.
And the best training is when you're in the car. You can't honestly prepare for what it's going to be like until you get in that car. So
because there's a real level of endurance that's required as well, right? Mental endurance as well as physical, to stay present for that amount of time. And then you've got the whole reaction thing, like that. The reaction thing, I think, is where I'd really struggle, because that's not the kind of thing that can, you can't just slog it out.
Yeah,
reaction, that's time training.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
there's no like quick way to be good at that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, yeah, you need to be physically strong enough so that you have capacity to do everything else.
Yeah.
You can't, unfortunately, like you said, just cross the line and give it everything and collapse on the ground. You need to have a lot more about you to be able to drive the car and, yeah, be physically capable of driving the car. So that's why a lot of my training is not just of isolated strength movements.
Yeah.
It's trying to do as much different stuff as possible whilst, you know, putting my body through as much exertion as possible. But yeah, it's definitely an element of endurance. Formula One races are up to 2 hours now. So
2 hours?
Yeah, and even on the weekend in W Series, my heart rate was average about 155, 160.
And so how long was that? How long was
that? That was just half an hour. So that wasn't too bad, but still.
But that's like going for a pelt doing a 5K run.
Yeah, that's as high as my heart rate would be for a 5K run. And there's a sense of there's a bit of adrenaline, everything in there. But yeah, that's, and the heat, of course. But yeah, I think that's the thing people underestimate a lot with the sport.
And you're a bit of a machine on your road bike.
Oh, God, I wouldn't say that. I've got all the gear. That's the...
Well, Jamie, you certainly look the part.
Yeah, I definitely look the part. I don't know if I'm a machine, but yeah, I love cycling.
And rumour has it that you are also a speed demon on your bike. I was told that.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
One of the lads at Cannondale said that you're an absolute animal.
Yeah.
So it seems like you don't know how to go slow.
I mean, it's just the racing driver thing, I think. My perception of speed's a bit thrown, I think, and that's the problem. But yeah, I love riding my bike, and it's nice to have something that's a little bit similar. Like, at least I get a little bit more thrill on my bike than I do maybe going out for a run. So,
are you the person in Richmond Park cruises up the hill? So we've got Sawyer's Hill. For those that are cyclists, everyone knows Sawyer's
Brutal.
Hill.
Brutal. It's bad.
It's pretty bad. But would you go on purpose the other way around the park so you can bomb down Sawyer's Hill?
No.
Or do you go?
I have only ever been one way around Richmond.
Oh, really?
And I don't know why I can't now. I think it's just inhumane to now go the other way.
To be fair, I love going up Sawyer's Hill, but you know what I do sometimes? So if the legs are like a little bit tired and we're a little bit blowy, I will go round one way, and then at my full lap I'll go round the roundabout the wrong way and then go back
the other way.
Way of mixing it up.
Yeah, that's
nice. If you don't fancy
that long slog up the...
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, cycling in London's a bit difficult, but...
It's a bit of a struggle, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there are some nice places if you get out to Surrey. Definitely during...
But it's getting to Surrey, is such a mission.
Yeah.
I've not actually found a good way yet.
No.
Always ended up on A roads.
I have seen on your Instagram stories, you've ended up going down motorways and all sorts. So I was like, maybe not follow your route, but
yeah,
there
no,
are...
It's
to be
been
honest,
disastrous.
Quite often I just put my bike in my car and just drive out somewhere and... Yeah, get some country miles in. And I've tried actually this year, I've taken it to a few racetracks as well. So Austria was really cool. There's some really nice cycling out there. I always end up out
Austria.
In the south of France as well, cycling. So, yeah.
Austria's a dream for cycling, actually.
It is nice.
Hills are a little bit of a struggle. They're not hills there. You know, like we've got
They're mountains.
Box Hill. It's
Yeah.
It's Box Mountain.
And I remember very clearly, I was in Monaco with a couple of racing friends that live out there. And they asked if I wanted to do a bit of climbing.
Yeah.
And I'd only really cycled in the UK. I'd never really cycled outside of the UK. And I was like, yeah, sure, like, sounds fun. And we went up Col de Madone, which is just under 1,000 metres elevation.
Wow.
And I was like, Christ, I thought Box Hill was bad, and that's a couple of hundred metres. So, yeah, I've started to learn to climb a bit better now. But, yeah, definitely the UK doesn't have the mountains of Europe.
It certainly doesn't. So what's the day in the life of a racing car driver like yourself like at the moment? What's a typical day at home? How much of it is training? How important is nutrition? Because I know that F1 drivers have got to be like real slight. Is it the same in W Series?
I walk to Pavilion Road, get some coffees and pastries and stroll back. And, no, it's definitely fairly strict. The training regime strict, and then obviously the nutrition supports that. So from my side, I just need to fuel myself to be able to do the training. But then I'm not so strict. Fortunately, I'm not exactly the tallest person, so weight isn't too much of an issue for me. Other drivers that are a bit taller have to be much more conscious of their weight. So yeah, I'm a big believer in whatever makes you happy, which is such an excuse for me being overindulgent on the weekends. But
love it.
I just believe, you know, if I'm a happy racing driver, then I'm gonna
Then you're gonna go fast.
Exactly. And if I have, you know, a couple of chips the night before a race, it's not gonna affect my performance, but it might make me a bit happier. It's such an excuse. If my trainer heard me say that, he would be like, you're full of shit.
But I think you're so right though. I think so much of life actually is all about finding that balance, whether it's a work-life balance, a food, booze life balance.
100%.
If you can find a happy relationship where you're on that equilibrium, everything just flows, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not about cutting certain things out of your lifestyle. And I've done that before. I've done the being so disciplined. I just end up unhappy and stressed. And then when things go wrong, it makes it much worse. Whereas, you know, if things go wrong now, I can have a little bit of a less depressing look at the way things have turned out. And so that's a big thing for me. But yeah, I think from my side, it's just making sure I'll balance and I'm happy. And yeah, I can still do the training I need to do to be as fit as I
Jamie
can be.
Chadwick, it sounds like you've got life on lock. Go on, girl. Aspirations for 2021, 22.
Oh God, 22. I want to test the Williams car.
You want to get on the track?
Yeah, get on the track, have a bigger role with the team. So that's the dream. Nothing obviously confirmed yet, but that's the
team
dream.
Principal, if you're listening to this now, sort it out. Let the girl loose on the track.
Exactly. There you go. That's my pitch. George Russell, if those who don't know, had a PowerPoint presentation. I've just got Amy Fuller.
What's the best thing about your job?
I think the travel. I mean, I always say I'm actually a massive homebird. I love being back home, but it's still really cool to be able to travel. And as much as we don't always see everywhere, to still be able to see so many different places. And yeah, I think I'm so lucky to do that in that sense.
Yeah, that's definitely was one of the highlights of my career as well. Going places that you never imagined you would go, and to do it for your profession.
Exactly.
Is really, really special. I also want to ask you about your passions outside of motor racing. So we know you like to go fast on the bike. I've heard rumours that you contemplated delving into ski racing.
I did, yes, that's actually true, yeah.
Do you ski?
I haven't actually skied for years, to be fair, but I used to.
Are you allowed to ski?
I don't know, actually. I hope so, because I want to go skiing. honestly, I loved skiing when I was younger, and I was really lucky. My parents took me when I was really young, so I literally had no fear.
Yeah.
And then I went to the British Ski Academy for a few weeks in Leeds.
No messing around at all, straight
in. No, but I wasn't very good. I think I just liked speed, and I was young, and I wanted to do it, and my parents were like, quite supportive of it, but yeah, I think
I can imagine that you'd be pretty loose on a set of skis.
I think that was the problem. I think that was the issue, is it was full send and not
full
much
send,
not
you're
much
speaking
else.
My language,
I know,
girl.
Not much
would
else.
Would you go alpine or would you go freestyle?
So here's the thing, I love ski racing and I liked the competitive element of ski racing, but then also I went to the British Ski Academy, and that was one of the big things I found was actually I just liked being out on my skis every day, and I just enjoyed free skiing and just having fun. And I remember there's a couple of guys that I can't remember their names, like, it would be funny if they ever watched this, they're two brothers and they were both like freestyle skiers that basically ended up at the racing school, but actually just wanted to go and have fun. And I used to just go and free ski with them each day because I just thought that was so much more fun.
We welcome you with open arms.
But I've not been in a while, so breaking legs central
free
is probably
ski,
what's...
It's the same as like snowboarding, you know, slope style, big air. I reckon we get you on the mountain and see what you can do.
I'm up for it. I'm down for it.
100%. Backcountry, big mountain riding, you'd be good.
100%.
It's full sand. There's rocks, there's cliffs. It would be like taking
extreme
you out
e.
of extreme E, but putting you on snow.
Done.
The only accelerator, though, is the elevation. So
yeah, that's the thing.
You're not
and what's
relying
the decelerator?
On and lastly, Jamie, we like to ask every guest on Monday Mile about their relationship with Mondays. Are you a fan of the start of the week? What's the vibe?
I am, because I think it all starts with a good Sunday.
Yes.
So, good Sunday lunch. Sunday lunch around 4 o'clock.
Are you going beef or chicken?
Either or, but I'm trying to cut out a little bit of the red meat, so I'm going chicken ways now.
Chicken at the minute,
just
nice.
To throw a promotion out. Cadogan Arms do the best Sunday lunch I've had in a while,
well,
and they do an amazing...
I might go there on Sunday.
Do it, done. It's the best place in the world, and they do an amazing roast chicken, so the roast chicken there. They do an amazing roast beef as well.
Yeah.
Great Sunday, in bed early, wake up early on a Monday morning, and trust me, you'll never feel so good, is my opinion. So I love a Monday.
Love it. Jamie Chadwick, thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. And we're wishing you all the very best of luck for your ventures. Hopefully we're going to see you on that start grid at the F1. Monday Mile listeners, I want to say a massive thank you to each and every one of you for tuning in each week. Can you believe it? We are on series 3. Jamie Chadwick, what an inspiration. Absolutely no fear. Just a reminder for you guys at home, you can tune into the audio from 2 a.m. every Monday, and the visuals drop on my Instagram at Amy_Fuller at 9 a.m. Monday morning. It's a wrap from me. Have an absolutely rocking week.